grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In continuing our services again, yet with that prayer of faith that the Heavenly Father, through His Holy Spirit, would open His Word, I thought to read a familiar portion to all of us from the first epistle to Timothy, 6th chapter, verses 6 through 12. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, when I thought of this service turn that is toward the end of these services, I have listened, as you too have listened to these sermons, it seems, that has all been already said. Here has been heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, the call or the invitation into God's kingdom, and we have been encouraged to believe. This familiar text brings forth a few core matters. Firstly, what in the end is in a person's life the most important? Our text speaks in accordance to this of perishing and unperishing treasures, and especially the dangers of greed. And at the end of our text, it speaks of the endeavor of a believer here in this time. What is in the life of a person the most important matter? in Christ, in Christianity, doctrine of Christianity, that even we have learned from memory to know God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to become a child of God is the most important thing in life. If we would continue that as a child of God, or to remain as a child of God, is the most important matter in life. Sometimes in our lives, we experience situations that remain in our minds, in which God, in an especially, in a special way, reminds us what is in our and in my life the most important. For myself, two matters have remained in my memory from my early youth. I was perhaps 13 or 14 years old. And there in my hometown in Ulii were song services. I'm not sure if they were song services or just normal services. But after those services, when I was going home, it came powerfully to mind this thought that is in that familiar youth song that we sang at that time. At that time, there were not many songs for the youth or children. Now there are many. But that time, at that time, there was, for our generation, this song which I was singing, "Come, Jesus, and bless your child." It is a windy road. Give your hand for security when I become exhausted. Lift and carry me to eternal peace one day. Dear brothers and sisters, God, the Heavenly Father, has heard this request and prayer. He has lifted, carried, and given strength to endeavor as a child of God unto this moment. One other, the second that remained in my memory, I received as a confirmation gift from my parents, in addition to a cross, a songbook, a hymn book, which there was a memory phrase there from Timothy to keep faith and a good conscience, and then you will receive the crown of life one day. I remember in many situations in my life, I have remembered that motto or memory phrase to keep faith and a clear conscience, and you will receive, inherit the crown of life, eternal life. Surely each one of you have such memories that have remained in your minds and carry and lift you on this way of life. Paul, in the letter to Timothy, reminds Timothy to have to fight the good fight, to keep faith and a good conscience. Some have become shipwrecked in faith. When Jesus unto his own disciples speaks of these temporal and eternal treasures, he teaches in this way. What does it benefit a person if he wins the entire world but loses his soul? God has given the gift of life. And God, when he has given us the gift of life, his thought has been that people would live in unity with God. And the Word of God reminds people that one must choose either a blessing or curse. Choose the blessing. The Word of God reminds and teaches how important that this gift of life which God has given us, that we would use it in the way God has intended, to live in unity with him as his child in his kingdom. God knows all of our lives, each of the days, and every moment as well. In that familiar Psalm 139, which has been cited many times at these services, it is pictured in this way. Lord, you have searched me. You know me. Wherever I am, wherever I go, you know it. From afar, you know my intentions. Whether I walk or rest, you have measured it all. You know the very depths of my actions. There is not a single word on my tongue that you, Lord, do not know. So intimately does God know each of our days and every moment of ours. In that same psalm, it is stated, your eyes saw me when I was a fetus. Everything is written in your book. Before I had lived even a single day, all of my days were already formed. We do not, brother and sister, know the length of our lives or the way before us. God knows it, but we do not. How long the travel of life is, or how short, and what kind of life we have before us, it is known by God. And for this reason, it is important to trust in the Heavenly Father, in his guidance, his care, and his shielding, and his blessing. From the summer service radio, we have heard interviews of many youth who have been asked the what is important in your lives. Many of these youth have gone or attended Opisto, and it has warmed one's heart to listen how this thought has come that the most important thing in life is to remain believing. In this context, we can all give thanks to the Opistos for that valuable work that the Christian Opistos do, and to ask yet of the Heavenly Father that he would bless the work of the Opistos. Many youth have experienced and said that during the Opisto year, that the youth often delicate in a vulnerable situation, that their life of faith was given the correct direction. And during time at the Opisto, they found believing friends who are able to support them on this way of life. Thus, these temporal and eternal, we people cling so often to this temporal. It is somehow within us. Two small stories. Our examples from our brother Mauno Koivuneva. Since we know him, they contain a bit of humor. We were at the Oulu RY at that annual speakers meeting, and the topic was the temporal and eternal matters. And he told such an example of how close this temporal aspect is. When my father was digging a big hole in the yard, and it was meant to roll a large rock into that hole, and when father was in that hole, he asked of his boys that what would happen if that rock would roll into this hole. The thought of the father was that something bad would happen to him, but the small boys around that hole, one of them called out in distress that, "Father, throw your wallet here." He had such a worry. It came genuinely from the mouth of that little boy. Another example was from a bog where they were collecting or picking cloudberries. They're in Utajärvi. He was working diligently picking those berries. Then he noticed that ladies from the village were coming that way and toward that patch of cloudberries. He had pressed himself down in the middle of the peat so they wouldn't notice him, that they were approaching his prime cloudberry patch. I don't know what happened or how the conversation continued after they noticed the pastor there in the middle of the peat. But these are small, everyday examples of how this temporal aspect is so close to our hearts. And on the other hand, how greed and even small matters as such come forth. Ranua is known for cloudberries. This didn't example than touch Runua. Here, of course, we know how to do things right and in a fitting way without excessive greed. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, taught his disciples that do not store yourselves up treasures on earth. Here, moths and rust wreak havoc, and thieves break in and steal. And in the letter to Corinthians, Paul writes that we do not set our sights on what is seen, but on the unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts us of that most important, that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. When the Bible speaks of greed, as our text here even said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, or according to the older translation, we could take as a parallel text that familiar story from chapter 12 of the Gospel of Luke, which goes like this, that Jesus is approached by a man who asks him that my teacher told my brother that he would agree to the division of the inheritance. What did Jesus ask? That, have I been appointed as your judge or executor? Then Jesus said to all who were listening, take care to avoid all forms of greed. No one can build his life on wealth, no matter how much he may have. Then Jesus told this parable of that rich man, a parable that is very thought-provoking. When the rich man had a bountiful harvest from his land and thought that, what should I do, that my harvest won't fit anywhere anymore, he came to this decision that this is what I'll do, that I'll tear down my storage buildings and build bigger ones in their place. There I will store all my harvest and everything that I own. Then I'll say to myself, you may live in comfort. You have plenty of good things stored up for many years to come. Rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life. But then comes this teaching from Jesus when God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be demanded of you, and everything you have set aside for yourself, who will it go to? The situation of, or the circumstances of this man's life were good, but they weren't enough. As we just heard, he just wanted more and more, and thought, but then I can enjoy life. But God had different plans. His life ended, and all that he had no more value. As in the book of Job is stated, that we have naked come into this world, And we must leave this world naked. We can take nothing from this life with us. For this reason, the Word of God warns us that we would not build our lives on temporal money or property or honor, for all these one day will perish. Then Jesus said that do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up treasures in heaven. Thus the Word of God teaches. In this portion of God's Word are two perspectives that it is precisely this, that we should not gather treasures here on earth. But the other perspective is this, where of which Jesus in the familiar Sermon on the Mount that we have already many times cited, how Jesus teaches how, on the other hand, we do not need to needlessly worry about these temporal things. He took this example from nature, birds and flowers, and Jesus teaches that if God feeds the birds of the heaven and robes the flowers of the meadows, will he not care more for you, you of little faith? That question is that we trust in the Heavenly Father and his care, his blessing and guidance. And in this connection or context, it is important to acknowledge that God can and may bless some with much temporal goodness. In the Bible, we find the example of Abraham, who was a wealthy man, and Lot, it is told that he was the richest man in the East. God can bless one with temporal goodness, and we can be joy or have find joy in it. And it is important and good. But the Word of God reminds us that it cannot be the greatest and most important in life. The question of trusting in God and God's blessing these are often discussed in this context with this topic, the Old Testament account in the Bible, when the people of Israel were on their journey from Egypt toward the Promised Land. There in the wilderness, they became hungry and thirsty. They began to murmur against Moses, that why did you bring us to die here in the wilderness? We have no food. We have no drink. Moses prayed to the Heavenly Father and tells of the thoughts of the people. Of course, the Heavenly Father knew already, but then it is told how Moses had prayed in the second book of Moses, in the 16th chapter. In the evening, the camp was set up. Quails were flying, so many that they completely covered it. In the morning, there was an abundance of dew on the ground around the camp. When the dew had evaporated, there was something fine and crisp in the wilderness, thin as frost on the surface of the ground. When the Israelites saw this, they asked one another, "What is this?" You see, they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The Israelites gave this food the name of manna. It resembled coriander seeds, but was white and tasted like honeyed bread. And later it is stated that the Israelites ate this manna for 40 years until they arrived. They reached inhabited regions, came to that settled land, until they arrived at the borders of the land of Canaan. Think about this, that there was only enough food for one day. And 40 years. God, according to his promise, gave unto this nation food and water there on the wilderness journey. God had promised that he would care for his people. And thus it so happened. In the Bible, we have many other examples of this. How God's promises come to fruition and are fulfilled, and how God cares for his own. As it is said in the Sermon on the Mount, that surely he will take care of you, you of little faith. Dear brother and sister, when is that question, worries and sorrows of this temporal life, they may be economical or financial, they may illness, loss of a loved one, whatever trials or sorrows life may bring, we experience. How we can continue to believe. Faith runs low. Actually, this is a story from the Bible which describes it, how weak our faith really is. When God appeared unto his disciples there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples had been there fishing, and they saw how someone approached them across the water. First, they became fearful that it is a ghost. But then Jesus said, "Fear not, it is me." And when Peter became excited, he said, "Lord, if it is you, ask me to come to you upon the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter stepped out of the boat and began walking across the water to Jesus. But when he saw how windy it was, he became fearful and began to sink. "Lord, save me," he called out. Jesus lent his hand and took hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why did you begin to doubt?" And when Peter saw that stormy water and winds, doubts took hold of him. And again he began to sink. But Jesus took hold of him by the hand and saved him. Here on this way of faith, we need strength so we can continue to travel, endeavor at these services. In every sermon has been mentioned more than once. The gospel message has been proclaimed, of which Paul in the epistle to the Romans says that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of each who believes. And those words of Paul are by no means just a phrase, but is the truest of truths. Through the word of the gospel, we can receive forgiveness of all sins and doubts, sorrows of life forgiven, in the name of our Savior, Jesus, and his atoning blood. In this gospel is also that power which helps us to endeavor and to battle against sin and the powers of the enemy of souls and this world. In it is also that strength or power that can awaken an unbelieving person and gift through the gospel, word of the gospel, the gift of faith. If listening to this sermon would be one who is seeking for peace unto their conscience, for joy and security, you can believe. All sins forgiven, even the sin of unbelief forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. This is the endeavor of a child of God. The noble race of faith is underway. Claim eternal life for yourself, to which you have been called and which you have acknowledged as your goal when you declared it in the presence of many witnesses. When little children are asked why we are believing, the answer is always clear, that one day we could make it to our home in heaven. For this reason, we are believing. But here on this way, we need the gospel and the grace power of God. We remember the Apostle Paul, who in his own heart and innermost being waged battles against the effects of the old Adam, the old portion, that it was as if a thorn that was in him. What was said unto Paul? Be content in my grace, for my power is made perfect in the weak. These words, that my power is made perfect in the weak. It contains such a great mystery of faith, that the strength of God is not in the powerful, in the knowledgeable, or in the confident, but the power of God is strong in the weak. Here, dear brothers and sisters, we can, through the grace of God, believe our own sins forgiven, and the grace power of God, as is often stated at services, that this power of grace will carry us until we reach heaven, everlasting life. When we stand here on the foundation of God's word, in which we believe, upon which our faith is built, we remain in fellowship and love with God's congregation. We endeavor to journey onward as God has promised, that on his part, that covenant and promise will be fulfilled. Broken bread, I will not crush it. A smoldering wick, I will not snuff out. God says this through the prophet, that which I have taken into my hand, I will not throw out. That question is always that we, dear travel friends, we have a wish or a desire in our hearts to follow the Savior in teaching life and suffering. Believe yet, sins and doubts forgiven. In the name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. At the end of this sermon, I would yet ask for my own heart. This is my second, and this time, my last service turn. As you servants of the word who have served here, you know, that this task, when preparing for it, one feels one's own lackingness and sinfulness. That's why I want to ask, that can I believe my own doubts, faults, and sins forgiven? I have a desire in my heart to believe together with the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen.